tried and true. With the life-giving, I'll be your living. Will you sanctuary, singing unto him for you. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and with thanksgiving, I'll be your living sanctuary for you. Amen and amen. To be a sanctuary, a dwelling place for the Lord. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading in 2 Peter 1 and also Luke 20. 2 Peter 1 and Luke 20. Now remember the announcements that were made and things. Now they will not be a Wednesday night service this week. It'll be on Tuesday night. All right, everybody understand? It'll be Tuesday night for this week because we're leaving Wednesday instead of being so late Wednesday night driving. We'll be driving all night going to Oklahoma anyway, but instead of trying to be so late leaving, we're going to try to leave as quick as everybody can get together Wednesday afternoon. So there won't be any services here on Wednesday. It will be on Tuesday. And just remember that and pray that the Lord would give us a safe journey there and back and everything. Brother Harris and Brother Aaron will be taking the services. If you remember anybody that, you know, would think about being here on Wednesday, make sure you tell them for this week that we'll be having it on Tuesday instead of Wednesday. I think I've pretty well watched around everybody to make sure that everybody knows about it. We've made enough announcements. Right? And the Bible study now will be the second Saturday instead of the first Saturday. All right? So it'll be the second Saturday. All right. Now then, we'll get all these other announcements. On July the 13th, that'll be the second Sunday, a Brother Richard Douglas from over at Brother Tim Hume's church will be with us preaching for the weekend. And then the next weekend, which will be July the 20th, Brother Prakash will be with us preaching for the weekend. And on July the 23rd, which is a Wednesday, Brother Nestor from the Philippines, he'll be with us on Wednesday. So I know for these for certain. And then probably the last Sunday there will be, somewhere in there will be Brother Quinn, because he always comes through at right about that time of the year. So just remember these announcements down the road, and we'll try to fill you in later as to one after the other one. Amen. And I think I've got all of it announced. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for all things. We pray that you would just bless us now with your presence, that as we read your word, Lord, we've gathered for one purpose, and that is to hear from you. And Lord, without you, then what good would it be of any of us gathering? We pray that you would just bless each and every one of us and have your way with our heart, in our hearts and lives this day. Open thy word unto us that we may walk therein. Bless Wade, our Lord, today as he's ministering for Brother Richard, and just be with him and take care of him, Lord, and give him what you'd have for those people there. And we pray that you'd be with Sister Regina, Lord, and help her to be able to get on up to where her mother is, that has the family and all, where her mother has passed away. We pray you'd bless and just take care of that for her, Lord, and guide each and every one. Have your way now. Forgive our sins. Lead us by thine understanding hand in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, and then we'll go to Luke 20. also Brother Richard, I was talking to him, and when they get the church completed, he wants me to come up and dedicate the building for him. So, you know, somewhere in here, I don't know when it's going to be, but whenever he can get the time and they can get everything going, they've already got the new roof on and doing things and getting everything fixed up. So as quick as they can, they're going to have a dedicational service. And also we'll let you know as much ahead of time as we can to be able to where if you want to go up and be there for the dedication and all, it'd be a wonderful thing. Verse 5, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's go to Luke 20. We'll begin reading about verse 9 through 19. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And he gave in a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as we've been doing on speaking on the stature of a perfect man and trying to get it to a finish and all, and down now to speaking about the last message, we talked about the same ministry that Jesus Christ had would have to be here in the end time. Now I covered that from three things this past Wednesday. You that wasn't here, we'll background it just a little. Each one leads out to the other or makes way for the other. And I spoke on like three stages of the ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, in that, one was to bring a new birth. And that new birth would be what would give each one of us eternal life. And that then would be just by bringing the new birth, that would even be the new birth on the day of Pentecost where the 3,000 were saved, that Martin Luther would receive that new birth, just bringing it on down in the ages, you know, and showing, and Wesley and Pentecost, and that would be the ministry of Jesus Christ, and then Martin Luther could be one of the church age messengers, you know, Wesley, etc. And it would bring it to the place that you could follow all the way through what the Bible says and what Brother Branham says about the ministry of Christ. All right. Then we went on in to where that it would cover to the faith of the fathers. Would be the ministry of Jesus Christ. So the first step in anything is what? The new birth. Right. That would be the first. Second is the faith of the fathers. To bring us back to the same revelation, the fathers, the faith, the revelation. Right. And then that would have to be there before the headstone could come. Right. And like I say, and most everybody in the message today, you know, they don't talk about faith of the fathers or the new birth or anything like that anymore. They're just headstone people. They're just up in the air all dancing around and everything and having a wonderful time. And that's all right. I'm not saying nothing about it. That's their business. But I just can't see it that way. I just kind of have to go slow and gradual, you know, climbing and to be able to keep myself sitting on the foundation. Because if you throw a headstone up in the air, we don't believe in, just hanging it up in the sky. There's no such thing as what a joke in America is to those on tape. You'd hear to say the sky hook. When we talk about just hanging something in the air, you know, well, you can't do that. It's going to fall. Gravity is going to bring it down. All right. But that's the way most people build a pyramid. They just throw the head up in the air and jump up there in it, and they don't worry about none of the rest of it. All right. But, you know, in looking at it then, see, each one must make way for the other one. The new birth makes a way for the faith of the fathers. All right, the faith of the fathers makes way for the headstone to come. All right, now that way you don't leave yourself out, and you're settled, and you have your foundation, see, and you can believe it. All right, then you can walk therein. Now, so we were talking about that, and I thought about a little something maybe we need to cover, and that's why we read in Luke. When Jesus Christ came to the children of Israel, he started speaking parables to them of the kingdom, of the sowing of the seed, of the things. And you know, they begin after a little bit to kind of perceive that he was trying to say something. And, you know, they wasn't that dumb about it, you know. And then they begin to perceive that he was talking about them. And that's why I read that scripture there, see. And see, Jesus was telling them now, you know, what had taken place. He was telling them that he had planted a vineyard, God had planted a vineyard, was expecting to receive from the vineyard, but he would send them prophets. That's what he's talking about when he said, you know, that he sent this one and they treated him wrong. You could put it in there, you know, with beating of the prophets and the thing. And see, that finally he said, well, I'll send my son and they'll recognize him and they'll reverence him. And you know, and they'll be all right. But see, they killed him. All right. And see, about that time, them Pharisees begin to realize he's talking about us. You know. And so they didn't like it. They kind of got upset about it. You know, they did finally kill him because of the things that he said. All right. But now, think about what's said. Jesus was showing them what they were going to do. Right? He showed them what they'd done with the prophets and the things. The people that he had sent. And that he was now there with them. As God Almighty in human flesh called a son. And that he was with them. And that they were going to crucify him. Well, how would you feel if you finally caught on to somebody's talking about you? You know, it's time to do something about it, one way or the other. But evidently they didn't find out enough to quit. So they did go on and crucify him. And they said, well, let's kill him. And by doing that, then we can be heir. All right. We'll take over. Okay. Now, but Jesus said, it is written. Right? It is written now that the stone which the builders rejected. Now who are the builders? Israel. Who are the foundation? Israel. Who are the roots of all religious Christianity? Israel. Alright. Now, He came to his own received him not. Right. They rejected him. And he said, that stone, I am the stone, and you're going to crucify me. And said, now, if you fall on this stone, in other words, if you touch the stone correctly, you'll be healed. Now, I'm quoting Brother Branham. I didn't bring these, but if that stone falls on you, that's going to grind you to powder because it's going to destroy you. Because according to what you do with the stone. All right, now, what was he talking about? The stone. The stone which the builders disallowed. Let's go over to Psalms. Let's pick up a few scriptures and just get a little background, and we won't be talking about the cornerstone. Because if we don't get the cornerstone right, there ain't no need to talk about the headstone. You can holler headstone all you want to. That's what I'm trying to show you and to prove to you. All right? Look in Psalms 118, verse 22 and 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, what was he saying? Look at Isaiah. Isaiah 28. Verse 16. Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. All right. Now, we know for a certainty who Jesus Christ was. He was Almighty God. Right? We don't believe all this garbage of the River Jordans and how he become God. Because if he become God, then he quit being God somewhere. You know, so you got a problem. But that's their business. But I'm just saying, when Jesus came to Israel, had they accepted him, now they were going to have to get the new birth. See, and that's where the problem was. They couldn't comprehend that. I mean, they thought he would come into Jerusalem. They thought the Messiah, you know, would come in there, and man, he'd just, you know, just start slinging them Romans right and left and just take over and set up a kingdom. But that was not Scripture. When he come to Nicodemus, he offered it to him. He told him what he must do. You must be born again. All right. Now, they couldn't comprehend that. Yet they know the Scriptures that there would be a Messiah and they'd be a child and all the things. Right? But when he came, they rejected him. And that's what he's telling them here in Luke. You have rejected me as the cornerstone. Now listen to what I'm saying, see? He said, oh, they rejected the headstone. They rejected the cornerstone. Because he was not coming to them as the head to take them off the earth. Now come on, we'll get it down in a minute, so just hold on to the point, but listen. When he came to Israel, he had to come as the cornerstone. The foundation stone. All right. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. To them that what? Stumble at the word. All right now. But see, he didn't come to Israel as to say, quote, headstone. Sure, that's who he was. He rode into Jerusalem there on a white donkey. That was Almighty God. That was the headstone. But Israel couldn't see him as the headstone. Why? Because he couldn't see him as a cornerstone. What's the trouble with the people of the message? The reason they're hollering headstone and everything, but it's not there. because they don't know anything about the cornerstone. The biggest portion don't even know about the new birth. But see, they don't know about the cornerstone. Now, Jesus Christ didn't come to Israel, get what I'm saying. He was the headstone. Amen. We believe it. He was Almighty God. He come right there. He preached six seals, and we'll get to it maybe this afternoon. Sure he did. He was the head of all. But that was not the plan. So it didn't say they rejected the headstone. They rejected the cornerstone. Now don't go run cornerstone into your Bible, into your computer, or try to run it up on a reference. You got to break that word down, because it breaks it down there. It doesn't list chief cornerstone. You say, yes, it does. No, it lists chief corner and stone. It doesn't say chief cornerstone. And I'm trying to save you trouble there, because you look it up and try say, well, it's not there. I thought it was. It is. It's chief cornerstone. Three words. All right. Now, but listen. He came to Israel to give them a new birth. That new birth would make way for the coming finally of the headstone to take a people out of here. But by rejecting the cornerstone, they automatically rejected the headstone, because he didn't know anything about it. How could he be their head when he could not be their Savior? He had to first become Savior, right? That's why Jesus said, I'm not the teacher. He said, the Holy Ghost will be the teacher. He said, I'm the sacrifice. I'm quoting Brother Branham off of there where it says, you know, I'm not the teacher. See, he said, I'm the sacrifice. All right. Now, get the point, see. They rejected the tried stone, the cornerstone. So there was no way for them to understand what the headstone was. But yet they could quote all the scriptures about Zechariah, you know, 4, where he would bring forth the headstone, crying, grace, grace. Sure, they knew the scriptures, but they didn't know the revelation of the scriptures. Now that's our problem. Our problem is knowing the letter of the message without the revelation of the message. Now revelation will straighten out everything. Doctrine will just confuse you. Right. Quotes will confuse you, but revelation will set you free. All right. You shall know the truth, not know about it, not learn it. You shall know. That word know there is to mean that you shall possess. All right. Now listen to what I'm talking about now. So then there would be no way that he could be to Israel. I'm trying to get you to see what they turned down. Had they accepted him as the cornerstone that was spoken of in the scriptures that we read there in Isaiah and Psalms, then Jesus wouldn't be telling them that scripture to show them what they were doing. All right. Well, see, he couldn't be to them the headstone, because he had to first be the cornerstone. Now remember what I'm saying. Three stages of his ministry. If you don't get the new birth, you don't know what the cornerstone is, or the headstone, or anything. You're just making quotes. You're just saying what somebody else said. So start with a new birth. Now, then from that new birth, according to the stature of perfect man, we can grow in grace and knowledge to come out to the face of the fathers, as we'd call it. Now, that cornerstone Yeah. To most people, a cornerstone means, you know, just a stone stuck in a corner. That's not necessarily the definition of cornerstone, you know, or that's doing. You go down to a building. You go to a building and you look on that building, the front of it. The cornerstone is that stone that's in place then to show who, what the building is, who it was built by or dedicated to or whoever paid for it or whatever it's done. That's the cornerstone. It's not the one down on the bottom that we call cornerstone. See? He said, no, it's the first well, which corner? There's four of them. No, no. See, the cornerstone. All right. And you know what happened at Jeffersonville. Brother Branham laid a cornerstone. And you know that they went and broke into that cornerstone because he told them, he kept talking about things that he put in there. You know where they went from? They went from the inside. Not from the outside. They went from the inside of the building and went into the stone to try to find what he'd left in there. I'm not throwing off on nobody what they're doing. I'm just talking, telling you. Because, see, cornerstone doesn't mean the first rock you lay. The first block you lay. The first thing you lay. It's the identification stone of a building. Like I said, you go up in town, you look at a big old bank, and there's, you know, right in that bank in the front of it somewhere, you'll find stone that's real smooth a lot of times, you know, and have writing on it. There's your cornerstone. All right? Now, the people overseas, they might not understand that, but see, go back and study it. It's not necessarily just the first one stone you lay. It's the stone of identification as to what is in the building. All right, now, where do we get to it in a minute? We're brought around and start talking about them starting on the building. I'm trying to take that out of you to start with. Because they start on the building and they start working. And they're building on the building. And all at once, they get where they can't go. But you see, then the cornerstone is not necessarily the very bottom stone. It's the identification stone. Right. Now, to ask most people what the faith of the fathers is, they look down at the bottom of the pyramid and they'll say, there it is, faith. It's the bottom stone. It's faith. Now, those disciples, the 120 from the upper room, had all of those virtues except the headstone. Alright, that's what your prophet said. And they had from Holy Spirit here down, pointing to the pyramid on tape. See? But they didn't have the love, the headstone, because the prophet said it hadn't come yet. Alright? So now what is the faith of the fathers? It's the entire pyramid. Except the capstone. You understand what I'm trying to bring you now? It's identification. The cornerstone of a building is an identification stone describing what is within that building or what it's being built or who built it or who's it dedicated to or, you know, or whatever. All right? See, then the faith of the fathers is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And then where it says Holy Spirit in between the stones and the headstone. Go to your American dollar, as the prophet is always saying, and look. And the American dollar is identically made like the pyramid. And there it is with a space in between. He said that's the great seal. But now does everybody understand what I'm saying? See, the cornerstone, we'll go down to Scripture in a minute. Where we're built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Right. We're built on the revelation of what the apostles taught. Right. And they didn't use a novice, God didn't use a novice to write the word. He used one with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that stood at the faith of the fathers to bring the word unto us, because that was what Peter and them was teaching. That's what I've been through all of these 15, 16 sermons. But see, we just look at it and say, what did Israel reject? Oh, they rejected the headstone. No, they rejected the cornerstone. Because not being able to receive the cornerstone, that automatically made them rejecting the headstone. And so is it today. If you don't know what the cornerstone is, there's no way in the world to know what the headstone is. And we can say, oh, it's a word. It's a word. That's because somebody said that. All right. Now, then Jesus being the cornerstone that they rejected, because they would have to first receive the new birth. They would have to receive the new birth. He wasn't coming to them just as a head and they could say, oh, here's our Messiah, we're going off the earth. Come on, folks, is that what we've had in our mind? That had they just said, oh, there's God, let's leave. No, it wouldn't have been spoken about it in the Old Testament then, that they would reject the cornerstone. Come on. It wouldn't have been written in there about them rejecting the cornerstone. But by it being written in there, they would have to be somebody do it. And so is it in the end time. So is it with you and I. All right. Now, because the cornerstone is the faith of the fathers. That's the stature of a perfect man. That's the virtues that we've been talking about. And if we reject those virtues, then we don't have the faith of the fathers. If we don't have those virtues as they had them, we don't have the faith of the fathers. And if we don't have the faith of the fathers, we can't have the headstone. Because the same ministry's got to be here. Come on, study the message. See, he was rejected by the children of Israel in that they would not receive him to let him become their Savior. Now, what about you and I? Have we accepted him as our Savior? See, then and only then can we start up the pyramid of what would be called a stature of a perfect man or adoption. But see, now watch. He came to his own. His own received him not. They rejected him. But them that did receive him, he made them the children of God, right? But now he couldn't be the headstone. That's the point I'm wanting you to get. How could he be the headstone when he didn't know what the cornerstone was? How can he be the headstone to you if you don't know what the cornerstone is? All right. Now, but when they rejected him, then a motion, a way was set in because they crucified him. Who did they crucify? The very Lord of glory. The very God of heaven. The very headstone. Yeah. Because that's who he was. But he couldn't manifest himself as that. Neither could he start on the day of Pentecost as the headstone. Do you think he changed his plan because of what they done unto him? You think he had some kind of a plan, but then when they turned around and crucified him, he changed it? No, no. Something wrong with your mentality. He knew what was going to take place. But he couldn't be the head to Israel, because they rejected their head. But he couldn't even be the corner, because the majority of Israel rejected the corner. The majority of the religious Israel rejected the corner. The 120 in the upper room were all Jews. Because basically the day of Pentecost was Jews. Then we know Peter opened the door to the Gentiles. Paul finally coming up to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Because it was going to be a Gentile kingdom. That was fine. But when it started on the day of Pentecost, it started out Jewish, the prophet said. And you go back and read your Bible. All right. Now, when they received Jesus Christ at Pentecost, what did they receive? He tutored those disciples for 3.5 years. Right? They must have been a good many of them went out and tutored others, or something happened, because they wound up not being just 12 in the upper room, as the Church of Christ makes it. But they wound up being 120. That were tutored by the Word. Brother Brown says, I believe spoken word's original seed. He said 120 little seeds laying up there. And when they received the Holy Ghost, it was what to them? Not the headstone. Because the same thing to the Gentiles, or to the New Testament, as we'll say it that away, to separate, is the same as the Old Testament. The Old Testament rejected him as the headstone. And he couldn't even be the cornerstone to them. That was what Jesus was telling those Pharisees. You rejected that right. That's why they got upset. All right. But see, then, when it started on the day of Pentecost, it started with 120 in the upper room. What was that? The cornerstone. Sure, now listen, I know the Bible. And I know how to read Brother Brown's message too, okay? I know the Bible talks about him being the head of all things. Sure he is. But you know what? He is the head of all things. You know he's even the head of the sinner. You know he created him, not a sinner. He created the person. He's the head because he's the creator. So he's the head of all things, the Bible says. All right. Now, but listen. He could not be made known to them on the day of Pentecost in the upper room even, as to the headstone. He would first have to give them a new birth. The new birth would be the cornerstone. The tried stone, the precious stone. How many quotes do I need to bring to you where Brother Branham said Jesus was the cornerstone. Jesus was the stone. Jesus was the one that was rejected. You ought to have enough spirituality about you to understand that. Jesus Christ was that Almighty God, but he couldn't manifest himself the way he wanted to. He could only be the Savior. All right. Now watch then. So when it started out on the day of Pentecost, it started out with the faith of the fathers. Okay? They accepted that stone. They accepted that tried stone, that one that Israel rejected. Israel is a nation. You understand what I'm saying? Because I done told you both, basically up in the upper room and even the 3,000 outside were Jews. But see, he came to his own received him not, but at the end that did, gave he the power to become the sons of God. Right? Now, but see, he couldn't come to the upper room to them as a headstone. He had to come as a cornerstone to fulfill the scriptures. So now you're going to have another one. Just as Israel of the old rejected the cornerstone.
Right.
Through the time of the ages,
right,
the bride lost the revelation of the cornerstone.
Right.
And come out just barely having the new birth. Is that right? But a promise. See, they rejected the stone. What happened? You mean the church rejected? The church rejected the stone that came to her. How'd she wind up being where she was? Brother Branham said they went to Nicaea, had no right to go there. When they seen there was wrong, they left. But said they lost in doing those things. The revelation of the Godhead. Now that's his words. It took four ages to put it in the ground. I explained it to you Wednesday night then. About the grain of wheat. When Jesus said, lest the corn of wheat die and fall into the ground, it would abide alone. Alright. Now, but then you got the corn of wheat. That's the corn of wheat, Jesus. Then you got the corn of wheat the prophet speaks of as the bride. That she had to die and go in the ground and be restored. What's being restored in the end time? The grain of wheat, like the faith of the fathers first.
Amen.
He said, Brother Dale, this is just dull to me. And I'll tell you what, so I wish about 35 years ago or 40 years ago, I wish somebody to preach this sermon to me.
You
might think it's dull, but you might think I keep quoting to you a lot of things over and over. But you remember when you come in this message. You remember when you first started. How would you like to have heard this sermon today? You know what you'd have done? No, probably. Like most people done. Because probably I would have to. Oh, that's too deep. I can't understand it. He's just an intellectual. Right. But see, that's why it took all this time. To bring us to the place that we could understand. Well, I've had this revelation 40 years, brother. Well, amen for you. But listen. The bride of Jesus Christ would start off then with the new birth. The 120 in the upper room would have the faith of the fathers because they were taught 3.5 years. The 3,000 outside would only receive it as a babe in Christ, desiring the sincere milk of the word and then to grow thereby, and that's why Peter told them how to grow. But see, that revelation was lost down through the ages. In other words, that stone was rejected. Sight and time took over. The prophet said that's God's two worst enemies. Sight and time. Just little sayings, little deeds, little thoughts, little things. Until they lost the true revelation of the Godhead. Here come the oneness people back, you know. 1906 and over through there, you know, we're Trinitarians. And then 1912, the oneness came back and they began to teach the oneness doctrine. And here come the prophet on the scene to where they were hitting and bringing it into the Jesus only doctrines and things, and he heard them. But then he seen that it wasn't Jesus only. He saw it was only Jesus. Not as a oneness, but he saw the true revelation of one God and began, and it took him 30-something years to preach. He said it, I didn't. Go to the stature of a perfect man. 30-something years for him to preach that. Why's the problem with it taking me 3 years to preach something? It took him 30-something years to preach it. Why should you bother with me preaching for 3 months on one thing? It might be because you don't understand it as reason the problem. All right, but now listen. See, they didn't, the early church never rejected the headstone. Come on. They didn't reject the headstone. The early church didn't. Israel didn't reject the headstone because they never saw the cornerstone. It is only when the stones are in place that you have the faith of the fathers. And it's only when the stones are in place to the exact faith of the fathers, the ministry of Jesus Christ in those disciples, that you can talk about a headstone. That you can comprehend what a headstone is. To just say it's word, that doesn't do anything. All right. But see, they didn't reject the headstone. They rejected the cornerstone. If Israel would have received that cornerstone, they would have been right there. It would have went right on in. And the headstone would have been revealed to them. But they couldn't do it. Now Jesus preached the headstone. I believe that, and when I get to it, I'll show you this. It's the seals and the things. Sure. The commandments and all. Right, we believe it. But if that's just a quote, what is it to us?
Right. Amen.
Quotes are just out arguing somebody else. Revelation will set you free.
Amen.
All right. Now, before he could become the headstone, he must become the cornerstone in you and our revelation.
Right.
All right. So then when he started on the day of Pentecost, the upper room experience was the faith of the fathers. 3,000 outside later was only babies. But thank God, like I said, what I was preaching Wednesday, that God put it in stages. First, the new birth. Second, the faith of the fathers. And then last, to be the headstone. Thank God he done that, because if he didn't, he'd leave every one of us out. All right, now, listen. When he laid that stone, our revelation, it took him 3.5 years to lay that revelation stone naturally, wording, planting it, in other words,
right,
into those disciples.
Right.
Then when the Holy Ghost fell, there was your cornerstone.
Right.
There was a repeat of the same ministry that Jesus Christ had, called the faith of the fathers. But see, then there would be almost 2,000 years between the laying of the cornerstone and the headstone to be able to come. Why? Because it'd be the same as it would with Israel. They were already rejected. See? Before he could reveal himself in the New Testament as the headstone, they had already rejected the revelation of the cornerstone. But Brother Dale, I wasn't back there. It's a good thing we wouldn't. We'd have done the same thing they done.
Amen.
Well, I don't like that. Well, I don't either, because I'm talking about myself. But it's truth.
Right.
Like I've always said, you could give everybody in the world right today, every person, 7 billion people, you could give them the faith of the fathers. That wouldn't mean the headstone whatsoever. That would just be a waiting place for the headstone. All right. Now, before he could become the headstone or reveal himself to the New Testament headstone, the bride began to get her garments soiled and her thoughts tied up.
Amen.
And as they did, what did they do? They rejected him as the cornerstone.
Amen.
He could only be the new birth in the days of Martin Luther. The days of John Wesley, a little more word, but it would just bring a new birth. Even Azusa Street and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts, it would only be just a small amount of word more added to it and just enough to bring the new birth. Because it would take the prophet, because we'll get to it in Zechariah, because the same one that lays the cornerstone got to bring on the headstone. Come on. But I like the way the prophet said it when we get to it. He said Zerubbabel didn't. It doesn't say Zerubbabel will bring on the cornerstone. It said he'll bring on the headstone.
Right.
See, because Jesus Christ laid the cornerstone.
Right.
That early church, when they walked out of there, there was that stone that Daniel saw.
Right.
Come on. But he just couldn't fulfill the headstone. There stood Almighty God in a church until Christians? At Antioch.
Right.
Until they could see Jesus Christ living in the people.
Right.
The faith of the fathers was made manifest. But you see, folks, that's why I've hollered and screamed like I have. This is not a doctrine. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. The stature of a perfect man is not a doctrine. Adoption and things is not a doctrine. It's a revelation of the person of Jesus Christ and what He was doing in the ages that He done it, and now we'll do it again because He promised it. It's not something that you and I can just talk about. Well, we're in the message. What does Brother Dale want? We're in the message. I want every person in under the sound of my voice, whether it be around the world or anywhere, these tapes will be going when they get to them. I want you to be born again. I want you to have the person of Jesus Christ living in your heart and your life.
Amen.
To be a walking instrumentality of Jesus Christ, no matter where you're in Africa, China, or Lula.
Right. Right.
Because only that is going to save us.
Amen.
Not a quote. But a revelation into her heart.
Amen.
Listen to what the prophet had to say now. Let's read a few things about this chief cornerstone. But now let me say this before I start reading where it'll save us when we get to it, because you'll understand better. Brother Branham is explaining the building of the Temple of Solomon. And that's what they were talking about. And that's why Jesus, when He was saying that, He was talking about in the building of the Temple of Solomon. That they begin to build the Temple of Solomon. And all of the stones had been cut and brought in, you know, and everything. The Bible said not even the sound of a buzzsaw or a hammer.
Right.
Every one of them was so perfectly to fit.
Right.
But you'll read it in a minute where the prophet said they found this funny looking stone and they just rolled it over to the side. That's not the headstone.
That's right.
That's the cornerstone.
Amen.
He said they go to building the building. And they get up a while and they find out they can't find something that'll fit.
That's right.
They didn't stop. They kept trying to build a building.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now listen to what I'm saying and it'll make sense to you in the natural. See, then the cornerstone would be the identification stone that you could come up so far and then put it in. But you know what? You can build almost the rest of the building around the back and on the sides. Right? So when you read what he said they just kept on working. But you've got to come back and get that stone in before you can bring that front end in the correct order and make a building out of it. All right. So now listen to him. Now keep that in mind. That he's talking about the building. That's what he's talking about. That's what Jesus was talking about. The building of Solomon's temple, that they would reject the cornerstone. Now you can't find it in the Bible where they was going along and done this and rolled it out in the grass. This is Brother Branham's explanation of what takes place. So listen to it. Right. E35, Resurrection of Lazarus, 1953, 11:22. And that's the way it's going to be in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The pure in heart shall see God. But the reason we builders are not getting anywhere, the same way they did back there. Right, he's talking about Israel, right? The chief cornerstone was rejected. And that's what's the matter today with the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and all.
Right.
The chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ, is rejected.
Right.
We have all of our theology and things. We speak of this and what our church believes. That sound like Lula? And what our church don't believe. We teach it in. See, we teach it in. Pump it in.
Right.
Everything like that. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of God to let freedom in amongst the people is rejected. And that's the very cornerstone that'll build the church that'll go home to meet Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe it. There's what's wrong with Lula. All of us.
Yeah.
But now, go on reading. E50, inner man, 53:12:12, drop down to the middle part. Now the builders, when they begin to go on, they run into a funny looking stone. They said, we can't use that. That stone's no good. It's a freak stone. And they kicked it off over in the weed pile somewhere and throwed it away.
Amen.
And they went on building, and building on their building. So now you see what he's talking about? You can build a whole building up except the front section. You can build the other three walls. You can tie the whole thing together and put a roof on it. But you don't have your building complete. Because you're lacking the cornerstone. You understand what I'm trying to say now? What he's saying? And come to find out, they got to a certain place and they couldn't get any further. They had come to a halt and they couldn't go any further. And the very stone that they had thrown away was the chief cornerstone. And that's where it is today, brother, sister. We've taken theology, we've taken schooling, we've taken education. Paragraph 90, Acts of the Apostles, 1954, 12:19. He's talking about how that that stone's in the same, almost same quote, you know, kicking it over into the corner. We get down to about the middle there where he says, right next to the number 3 on your line, you'll see what he's saying. The first thing you know, somebody went out in the weed pile, and the very stone they rejected was the chief cornerstone. And that's what it is today, friends. The Methodist Church is all right. The Baptist Church is all right. The Presbyterian Church, the Pentecostals, the Nazarene, the Pilgrim Holiness, whatever it may be, they're all right. But the thing of it is, brother, they rejected the real cornerstone. That's why the gospel hasn't gone to all the world through powers and signs and demonstrations. It's because the denominations has cut out the very power of the phenomena, saying, what, the days of miracles is past and the thing. Okay. Look at the next one. E29, Great Commission, 1958, 301. And I believe that through the Church of God of Prophecy and the other great church, the Lee College or whatever it is, though you assemble brethren, you assembly brethren, though you're independent brethren, and through your oneness brethren, and through all of you, that's God cutting out stones. And someday that master stone, that rejected stone, when the church got so far up, they found out they couldn't cut, had a freak stone. They couldn't find no place it fit. And they come to find out that it was the chief cornerstone. And I think, brethren, that one of these days we're going to realize that the chief cornerstone is the love of God, Christ in our hearts, that'll bind every one of us together as one. Then the great church will be capped off and God will take it to glory. What? Is the love of God. E47, church dedicated, 1959, 7:08 in the morning. Sure, there they had it. Rejected stone become the chief of the cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. That's where it's at. And when they rightly went and got this rejected stone and pressed it in, it fit perfectly and the building was assembled together. Now to prove the point of what I'm saying. Then when the building was assembled together and all completed, Solomon called a day of dedication. So now you see what he's talking about. You see what Jesus is talking about, right? The building of Solomon's temple. All right, now let's get one more, or a couple more. Paragraph 73, why against organized religion? 62, 11:11 in the evening. But what Nicodemus had to learn is what many people today of the denomination of this day has to learn. What Nicodemus ought to have known is what the people today ought to have known of these denominations. He was more than a prophet. Now, this is what he ought to know. He had come to him to find, to tell him which is the way of life. So who come to Jesus, Nicodemus, to find the way of life, right? And Jesus himself was life. He that has the Son has life. So he must have come to try to learn a teaching. So he didn't. See? In other words, he must have come to try to learn a teaching. He must come to accept the person. Not to just accept the teaching, you got to accept the person, right? That's what it is tonight. The chief cornerstone is rejected again. What is the chief cornerstone? It's the Word of course Christ. He is the Word. He had to learn something. He thought, well, this man is a prophet. He was just a prophet, all right? Go to the message dedication. If you would, listen to this whole message on the dedication preached in 1962, 11:11 in the morning. Look at what I got just underlined there, talking about. The stone is actually that too odd to be used. There's no such a place. Remember, it was the builders who should have known different. Jesus spoke of it. But come to find out, they had built the building so high until they missed the stone. And they didn't know where that stone was. They might have searched all the ships. They might have run through every ox cart. They might have sent messengers up into Joppa and down and say, has another load come in? Or did you lose one on the road? There's something wrong. We just can't find that stone for this place. And when they could not find it nowhere else, come to find out, it was right on the ground. It was the cornerstone that the builders rejected. Jesus spoke of it. Said, have not you read of the stone that the builders rejected was the chief cornerstone, the head of all of it, where the rest of the building rested upon it. Chief cornerstone. All the other stones rest on that. I'm not talking about headstone. I'm talking about cornerstone. If we don't have the cornerstone right, there's no need to talk about a headstone.
Right. Exactly
right. We might as well just forget it.
Amen.
Go do like everybody else is going. Just have a glorious hallelujah time. Right. Let's take a few scriptures. Isaiah 8. Verse 14. Verse 13. You can read all of them between, but just sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. Listen, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. And remember, there's a split in Israel. Remember, there's 10 tribes in one place and 2 tribes in the other. There was a split. All right? For a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. All right? Go over to 1 Peter. First Peter 2:8. Now back up while you're getting there. Verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now that doesn't put him up to be the headstone of the sinner, the disobedient. That makes him the head of the disobedient. He's the head of all. He's the head of everybody in the world. But it's because they were just created. All right, but what? And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. Right. Ephesians what? 2:20. Very familiar, right? Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. But now, where would that be? You say, well, no, Brother Dale, they don't reject. Well, let me make this statement. Let's see. How about the women that say, I don't like what Paul said about cutting hair? So you know they couldn't receive nothing else he says. That's what the blindness of man's mind. I don't understand that. I mean, I'm honest. I don't understand it. The day you see me turn this message down, you'll never hear me quote Brother Branham again. But you see, people will take doctrines Like I told you, I got a big old thing. You want to read it? It finally goes around to show that this man, Morgan, is the end-time prophet that was to take over after Brother Branham left. But listen, church. It's like I told a man at my home one time. I said, why don't you get out of the message or get in? I said, you guys are quoting Brother Branham for what you want. No different than Sister Barbara's husband that sat with me and talked about the Bible that he agreed with parts of it. I said, in other words, what you think is right is okay. But if it don't go along with your idea, it's not the Bible. He said, you're right. He was honest enough to answer me. But see, these others swear by revelation that they're quoting what the prophet says and saying what the Bible says. But the prophet was wrong here, and he missed it here. He done. Do you think they haven't rejected the cornerstone? You see, Israel rejected the cornerstone, right? The bride coming down through the ages lost that cornerstone, right? The people in the end time are rejecting the cornerstone, because if you don't have the cornerstone right, then you don't need to talk about the headstone. But where do you hear the faith of the fathers preached? Where do you hear the stature of a perfect man preached? That we've got to have these things before God can come back. Where do you hear it? I'm not being hateful. You don't know what that does inside of here. To know that the people around the world that are starving to death in this message, wanting to hear the truth. Same people rejecting the same stone. But yet they're preaching about it. You think Israel didn't go on preaching about God? You think the children of Israel didn't go on to the temple right the day they rejected Jesus? Walked right in. You think they didn't go in there? You think they wasn't singing the songs? Brother Brown said they were singing in the temple. They pierced my hands and my feet and the veil opened up. Now they saw it right out there. You think that changed them? No. It's not going to change in the end time. It goes back to the same thing. He came to his own received him not, but as many as received him. Same thing in the end time. He came to this whole denominational system of the world through the prophet's message and delivered the message, but what did they do with it? But what are you and I doing with it? Because it ain't got nothing to do with us, what everybody else is doing. What are you and I doing with it? Could we reject the headstone, the cornerstone, and then talk about the headstone? Could we do that? The faith of the fathers is now what is being rejected. How can you talk about the headstone? Because you've got to come back to that. That's why the prophet was sent. It's written and it states emphatically in Malachi 4 what the prophet would do. That he would turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. That would have to be done before you can talk about a headstone. You say, well, we can just say headstone. We can quote this. We can read that. But that doesn't do anything. I'm not talking about quotes. I'm talking about a revelation in your heart.
Hallelujah. Amen.
The people in the message, they can say, how many gods did Israel have? One. How many do we have? One. But he wasn't God until the River Jordan. Now you tell me those things are not rejecting. Or in a way he was God. Or in a way you're God. You see what I'm talking about? They rejected the cornerstone. It's repeating again in the end time. They're rejecting the cornerstone because the people are rejecting what this Bible says. You say, how do you know? Because they won't take this Bible to show you what they're talking about. They only take quotes from the prophet, and certain scriptures that they can manipulate into trying to think it fits. You say, no, they don't do that. Church we left one time, a man got up there reading out of the church age book, trying to prove that nobody didn't have the Holy Ghost. And you know what he read? Brother Brown says that the Lutheran age was an unfulfilled age. That's the word he used. You know what he read? He read it. Luther's age is an unfulfilled age. His sister, even sitting back in the congregation, said, brother, he said unfulfilled. He said, I saw the same thing. And he just went right on. You think people are not that blind? But that ain't nobody else. It's how blind are me and you. It's not where somebody else's church is at. That's their business. That's their teaching. It's what's here. Could we reject the very cornerstone and talk about we've received the headstone? I say, this is just plain language, the biggest portion of the people this message already has. Most of them has rejected even the new birth because they don't seek it no more, because they claim they always was eternal and come into the message with eternal life because they believe the message. Right? And don't even know anything and don't even try to teach. I asked a sister one time about in a certain church, I said, what does your, or somebody did here, said, what does your pastor teach on the soul? She said, I don't know. How long have you been going there? About 6 or 8 years, and never know what he talked about the soul. You say, well, they're not all you, Brother Dale. I agree, and I'm glad of that. I'm tickled to death. There's only one of me. Because if there was two of us somewhere, we'd have troubles, because we'd run heads somewhere. But listen, folks. The cornerstone has got to be laid before you can talk about the headstone. But see, you think cornerstone, when you say cornerstone to most everybody, that's what I'm saying. They think it's a stone put down here. They think this is the cornerstone right here. You know, I'm pointing to the pyramid right down in the very corner where it says faith. And right over there where the lines come around, it says right next to Paul. They think that's the cornerstone. No, this is the cornerstone from where it says Holy Spirit all the way down. That is the cornerstone. And that's why that stone in the natural can be put 5 foot up in a building. But it's still the cornerstone. Because it's the introduction of what is there. Right. That is the stature of a perfect man. That's the introduction. That's the faith of the fathers. That's where those disciples were. That's what your prophet said, stature of a perfect man. He said they had these virtues. What about the cornerstone? Just remember, one makes way for the other. The new birth makes way for the cornerstone to come into being. The cornerstone will make way for the headstone to come into being. And if you look at that pyramid with just one little simple illustration, once we come here, is there a big jump to be made for the headstone? If the cornerstone is the Word, what will the headstone be? But it'd be something about the Word that the cornerstone didn't reveal. Is that right? Something about God that wasn't revealed when He was here on earth. I didn't say it wasn't in Him and He didn't talk about it. I said it wasn't revealed. Now to prove it, He preached 6 fields in Matthew 24. And nobody in the writing of the New Testament said one thing about the seals except John, who went to the Isle of Patmos, and he never said nothing about Jesus taught it. It was so hidden. But the prophet in the church age book, what did he say? It'd be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally, what? He said, this messenger of Malachi 4, come on, brother, has to do two things. One, turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the Father, and reveal the seven thunders, which is revelation contained in the seven seal. It'll be these are divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn our hearts back. All right. Cornerstone. What do we know about what the apostles taught? You know that Brother Branham didn't have to go anywhere else to get another Bible to read from? And you know when the seals broke? He said it was things that had not been light shined upon. Is that what he said? Light had not shined upon these things. But did he go get another Bible? Did he get a new version for modern man or something? He took it right back into the same Bible and said, if it don't go in this Bible, it's not correct. That's why I know he was a prophet. That's why I told Brother Moat when he told me about how it's the healings and the signs and wonders, I said, I believe it because you told me that it wasn't there. But I said, tell me what he said. I said, I'll know he was a prophet. Tell me what he said about the book. Thank God I run into a man that could quote it to me and tell me. What about it? Do you have the cornerstone? Do you know what it is? Just think of that man walking in there to those Pharisees that day. There walked a cornerstone, right? There walked a headstone. But what could they see about it? There walked Almighty God. But what could they see? Couldn't see it. Why? Because them Pharisees were standing in the door. And they wouldn't let them, nobody in. And wouldn't go in theirself, the Bible said. Them preachers. Right? Hey, church, what is it? Let's name. $2.25 in the red book. Do what? For things that could not satisfy. Anybody have a need? And then I heard my Savior speaking from my well that never shall run dry. There my cup I lift it up. Do you come and quench this thirsty of my soul? Father, we send this prayer cloth, Lord, to be the thing that would take care of the problem. Just touch Brother Don, Lord, and let everything be well. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Here's my cup. I lift it up. And quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me. pray. Let God work it out. All right. Father, you heard our little buddy. He's concerned about his little brother. So you work it all out. We don't know how to. We wouldn't be able to if we could try. But yet you can. So yet you make it all possible. He puts our brothers back together in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Think about it. Him and humbly pray. What are you saying? Here's my cup. Prophet said we have too many full vessels. That God wants empty vessels. What? That He can fill them up. That He can fill them. Feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Just sing that chorus unto Him as you leave. Remember the service this afternoon? Fill my...